His resolve is incredible. I'll say that about Winston, and I've always said it about him. He keeps coming at you. He's like Dracula. You can't kill the guy.
For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best, and they're right up front with our $5,000 best price guarantee. That's right, Bill Curry will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $5,000 cash. Shop our huge selection of new Fords, then get the lowest price, the best price, or we'll give you $5,000 cash. Only at Bill Curry Ford, located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for their presenting sponsorship of Ira Kaufman, all of his work at joebucksfan.com. Get to BillCurryFord.com to see all the slashed prices on the 2019s, super low prices. They all must go before the end of the year, and all the great offers at Bill Curry Ford, where they have their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Also, Ira, final Sunday for him, last Buccaneers road game of the year. Ira will be in Buffalo Wild Wings, Sarasota. He's going to tell you more about it. It's the last stop on the Ira World Tour. And, of course, your nearest Buffalo Wild Wings location can be found at buffalowildwings.com. Pin Chasers, they have their student holiday lane pass, which is just an incredible deal. Students, kindergarten through 12th grade, get 15 games of bowling for less than $1 per game. Shoes are always free at Pin Chasers. Reload your pass anytime between now and January 7th, and then you'll get another 10 games for just $10, and those games never expire. Every day there is a daily special at Pin Chasers. They have three locations. You can go to their website, see all the daily offers. Dollar Mania every Monday night. Just get to pinchasers.net, reserve a lane, book a holiday party. Pin Chasers, we love them too. Now let's get out to Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper. They are in their celebration podcast mode. The Bucks have won three in a row. We don't even know what to do with ourselves here at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good midnight, whenever you're listening to this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another edition of the world-renowned Ira Kaufman podcast with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton. It's Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. Ira, real quick, we're sitting in the coach's room at the Den of Depression, where the Bucks sit, all the assistant coaches sit. This is better than Buffalo Wild Wings. Look at this, wall-to-wall TV screens. I mean, there's barely a crack in between the screens. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and that's just up on this one wall. Every coach has his own little TV screen in front of him.
Can I get a Santa Fe salad in here? That's the difference. Can't get it. Can I get a vodka cranberry?
No vodka cranberry. Although sometimes you needed one today.
You are going to need another name, Mr. DeCamper, because this wasn't the Den of Depression today. This was the Den of Jubilation. And although this stadium was far from filled, as you noticed, mm-hmm. and I did, the game had a lot of thrills and chills. It wasn't the most well-played game. But if you're a Buck fan, you ended up absolutely jubilant. Another reason to be jubilant, Mr. DeCamper, is Bill Curry Ford is slashing prices to record lows. Everybody, and I mean everybody that's listening to this podcast, has to see these deals at Bill Curry Ford. By the way, speaking of Buffalo Wild Wings, and you brought it up, next Sunday, when the Bucks go up to Motown mm-hmm. to face another bad football team, not that the Colts are bad, the Colts are mediocre, where will I be, Mr. DeCamper? And you'll be watching the game from your humble abode, and I'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Sarasota. 5235 University Parkway for the Bucks Lion kickoff. 5235 University Parkway. Lee, last week I was in Bradenton. This time I'm going even further south. You never know who's going to show up. Zach, crazy intern Zach, says he may show up.
I'll be down in Sarasota.
Yeah. He's bringing his buddies with him. They're all into fantasy football. That's all they're going to be thinking about.
Well, hopefully Ozzy the sports junkie makes an appearance with you. At least says hi.
There you go.
No, real quick, you mentioned Motown. What's your favorite Motown artist?
Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. He had a fantastic voice, that falsetto voice. He was a great songwriter, number two to my man Chuck Berry, but a distant number two. Ooh, baby, baby. That was not written about Jameis Winston, by the way. Ooh, baby, baby. You know, you can't get around this game without talking about Jameis.
Oh, it's impossible.
You just can't. You just can't do it. The good, the bad, the ugly. Uh-huh. His resolve is incredible. I'll say that about Winston, and I've always said it about him. He keeps coming at you. He's like Dracula. You can't kill the guy. And
he's fearless. He keeps coming at
fearless,
you.
Fearless, and he has this remarkable ability to forget about the mistake and keep going. And
like a cornerback.
What? The best pass he threw all day was the last one to Perryman. Yeah. That was a bullet. Yeah. And we didn't know it at the time, but he's got a, quote, itty-bitty fracture. What's an itty-bitty fracture? Wasn't you need to have a fracture or you don't have a fracture?
What's his itty-bitty bikini? Wasn't there a song?
Yeah, itty-bitty bikini. What'd you think of Winston's performance, Lee?
Early on, the typical first play, or first throw, first early game was terrible. I mean, terrible. And he was moving the ball in the first half, but he had these interceptions, and you're like, son of a gun, and everybody before halftime. Of course, I noticed that there's some devout Winston lovers on Joe Buck's fan Twitter timeline. One guy actually said, I went to the movies. I couldn't deal with it.
What?
I had to go to the movie.
Sean Sullivan, what are you doing going to
the movies? No, it wasn't Sean, but there's another guy. And, of course, the Jameis haters were coming out of the woodwork. Oh, my gosh.
Put in Griffin.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, but you heard some people applauding when James couldn't answer
some.
The bell.
I heard some.
I mean, it was just, no one was in a good mood. No Bucks fan was in a good mood.
Pick went off Perriman's left hand.
I know, but you know what? That's happened so often, especially this season.
It's still a high ball.
Yeah. You know, people were just getting ready to throw in the towel. I'm done with Winston. Then he has that. He was moving the ball, but still, the turnovers. Then that second half, he went crazy. But still, the first half, if I remember correctly, didn't the first half, he had 270 yards passing with all those turnovers?
277.
277.
And Lee, you know, look, the other side of it, you got to give credit sometimes. Darius Leonard played a fantastic game.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. And on the pick six, and you noticed it, he took two steps forward like he was going to blitz. Then he dropped back.
A
Rondé Barber move. Beautiful.
Yes, it was. You know, I'm starting to think, I'll get this out of the way right now. I want to say four times this year, Jameis has thrown an interception on the first drive. What do we know about the first possessions? They're scripted.
Come hell or high water, he's going to throw that pass.
Because the coaches think it'll work. Maybe it was 2 years ago I heard this. Someone with the Bucks, I was talking to him about Jameis, and they said, you know what? We're going to have someone special if we can get Jameis to do one thing. I said, what's that one thing? He says, Jameis has so much trust in his ability and so much confidence in his coaches. He's like 100% confidence and trust in his coaches. You know, he's old school. You're the coach. I do what you tell me to do.
But Lee, this is year five. You got to get past that.
Oh, it's year five. Wait, maybe this is the reason why he gets so many chances. He's 100% behind his coach. He's old school in the sense, my coach tells me to do something, I'm going to do it because he's looking out for the best of me.
Well, he's showing Leftwich too much respect. Well, if the play's not there, don't make it.
And that's just it. I had heard, they said, when Jameis figures out, the play's not there, even though coach wants me to run it, I better not run it. They said, when he figures that out, then they got someone special. And I remember I was talking to Cutter, and I think I could share this. And Cutter was agreeing with me. I didn't tell him who I heard it from. I told Dirk, I said, Dirk, you know what? I remember a story about Johnny Unitas. Dirk's like 2-3 feet away. It was at the NFL owners' meetings a couple years ago, and everybody's having cocktails, and everything's loose, and everybody's laid back.
Oh, at the Monday party?
Yeah. It was in Paul Zimmerman's book. That's what it was. Johnny Unitas said, you're not a pro quarterback until you could tell your coach to go to hell. Cutter looked at me, his eyes lit up. He's right.
Well, Winston ain't there. Lee, I'll tell you a group that I feel when this game ended with a Buck victory, they had to be very relieved. I think they were let off the hook. I think they had a bad day, all things considered. That's the Bucs secondary. A bad day. Jacoby Brissett is not Drew Brees by a long shot.
Or Andrew Luck.
In fact, I think the Colts have a tough decision deciding whether he's their guy. And don't blame the Colts. They lost their quarterback, on the brink of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's an elite quarterback. He retired. I think Brissett's a good backup. If he starts, I think he's the number 22 quarterback in the league. They didn't have T.Y. Hilton. He's by far their best receiver. And I thought there were a lot of miscommunications after two very good weeks by these young defensive backs. Miscommunications. The first 46-yard touchdown, Adams is like looking at Davis like he thought Davis was going to pick him up. And Davis threw his hands in the air. And that guy ain't Jerry Rice going down the field either. And what's even worse, Lee, and you saw it, Jordan Whitehead, you cannot get beat. When they take over the football, after you scored a touchdown, there's 38 seconds left in the half, and you give up a 50-yard pass when you never even turn around?
Yeah.
They should have never scored any points in that situation with 38 seconds. You gave them life, you know. And Jamel Dean had his problems also. He ran over a guy, clobbed him with his right hand on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So this young secondary, they didn't keep the same standard they had done for the 2 weeks.
Defensively, whoever came up with the game plan, they had a bad week, and this is why. Who's your favorite? Who was your favorite player on the field? I know who it is.
Ryan Griffin? No.
No. who? Quentin Nelson.
Oh, yeah. I love Quentin.
And by the way, isn't that guy, he a behemoth? He's huge.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was the first pass play of the Colts. Someone on the Bucs defensive coaching staff had the brainstorm to have Jordan Whitehead blitz through the one hole, which is where Quentin Nelson is.
Oh, I got to look that up. I got to see
that. He slammed into Quentin Nelson like you are running into this wall, and he didn't budge Quentin Nelson, nor did he budge at all. Quentin Nelson just locked him up. Boy. And something happened between the two. I don't know what it was. They scuffled a little bit. Then after the play was over with, they must have walked down because it was a big tight pass. It was a touchdown pass, by the way. And they're walking down the field because I guess Whitehead's on the place-kicking defense team. And obviously Nelson's blocking. And they walked down together for about 15 yards. Then they stopped and shook hands. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, I hope Bucs fans don't see that. You remember when Gerald McCoy would help and they went bananas?
Oh, yeah.
They would have gone bananas over seeing Jordan Whitehead. But think about this. Someone actually is getting paid six, maybe seven figures. And their brainstorm is, you know what? When Brissett drops back for a pass, we're going to blitz Whitehead right up to Quentin Nelson.
Nelson's a mean mother. He's a mean mother. Something happened before the game. I saw some video where Opinion was practicing his punts. He almost hit Nelson.
He did hit him once.
And Nelson second got time all pissed him. Off and something.
Yeah, he hit him in the head the first time. Jeez, and the second time was a near miss. And
you don't want to get that guy pissed off.
Yeah, after the second time, he walked up to Opinion and he had shared some words with him and then walked away. Watch where you're kicking the dang thing.
Good for Ryan Griffin getting four pass attempts today. Lee, you know what? His football obit, not his obit, but his football obit, is no longer going to have to say who never threw an NFL regular season pass. That's done. So good. Move on, Ryan Griffin. I was happy for him.
Jameis' presser, someone asked him, what does Arians say to you? What does Arians say to you?
You mean after a pick?
Yep. What does he say to you? Jameis said, keep firing.
He never wants him to lose confidence. He never wants him to lose confidence.
The guy is leading the league in interceptions. And the coach should keep firing.
What's our number? 23, Lee? 23? I believe it is 20. You know, Lee, when you look at it, and I mentioned this in my column, certain things, you know, you're not supposed to win the game when you lose the turnover battle 4-1. You're not supposed to win when you got 104 yards in penalties. You're not supposed to win. And the Colts are fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah,
it's not like there's some slap dick team over there. And I got to clean up my language.
I was really surprised you there.
A little bit. But
you're more disciplined than that, usually.
Well, I hung around with the Mad Dog yesterday.
So, that's right. He's in town.
Yeah, so the Mad Dog up in the stands at the University of Tampa basketball. His kid's the manager of the team. Nobody recognized the doggy. And
nobody.
Three people recognized the sage. It drove him crazy. I loved it, Lee. I was up 3-0 on the doggy.
But he probably enjoyed it because he's just getting hounded in public, I bet.
He left this morning for San Diego. He's going to the baseball meetings. It's not a bad life, Lee.
No, go to
he's
Tampa.
Got a week in San Diego.
Then you go to San Diego.
How the heck did they win this game, DeKemper? Well, how did they win it? They're losing the whole game.
I was talking to Cam Braid about this. And I said, hey, it's second half's about to start. Your offense takes the field. No Mike Evans. Donovan Smith's dinged up. We'll get to that in a second.
Winston's dinged.
Winston's on the sidelines trying to warm up. He's got a messed up thumb. I said, you guys, you're trailing by 10. I said, you probably thought it was over. And he admitted it looked bleak. And I love the word bleak.
Well, yeah, bleak. That's a Harvard word,
I was
going to
say, that's a Harvard man, you know. But he just said, he's not the only one that said this, but he's like, there's something about this team. They have fight in them. They have fight in, which James always did.
Did you hear the phrase culture change?
Ryan Jensen, I heard him. You might have been standing there. I think T.J.
Reeves. No, Dotson was yakking about it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I heard T.J. Reeves, who sideline reporter for the Buccaneers Radio Network, I heard him asking Ryan Griffith. I was standing around waiting to talk to Justin Watson, and I was maybe 10 feet away, but I heard during that interview on live radio that Ryan Jensen said something about there's a culture change going on in this locker room. I talked to a couple other players, and they kind of beat around the bush, but they didn't disagree. They didn't come out and say culture change, even when I tried to put the words in their mouth, although I wasn't trying, but I mentioned culture change in my question. They just said, they admitted a couple months ago, this team may be folds.
Did you hear the phrase, in years past or whatever, we wouldn't have won this game?
Yes.
I heard that two or three times. Yeah.
I don't know what has brought this change about. Oh, it was Devin White. You know, it's Levante David more than he ever has in the past, that to my knowledge, He's become a vocal leader.
I think he's been encouraged to do so.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think Arians looks at David as one of his stalwart guys, maybe three or four guys. He needs more, but David's one of them, and JPP's another. And by the way, who knocks down that pass? JP.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guy's a warrior.
You know who else, first time I heard, spoke up at halftime, like, hey, get your ears in gear.
Ryan Griffin? No.
Ali Marpet?
Yeah.
I've never heard him do that before.
He must have had his family out here. His father's a piece of work.
Yeah, he's an interesting dude, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, with Levante, a couple weeks ago, I asked Bruce Arians. I said, what does Levante mean to this team? I said, I know he's become a vocal leader. What's he mean to this
great
team?
Great mentor for
White. Yeah, for White. Devin White.
Yeah, great mentor.
And Arians looked at me and goes, oh, I can't put into words. He just thinks that much of him. And I don't know if you remember this or not, Ira. Greg Schiano loved Levante David. Absolutely loved him.
And he thrived under Schiano.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if, the way Arians speaks up about Levante and Greg Schiano used to. Wonder if that is one reason why Levante, I almost hate to say it because he's a pro, but is he playing that much better because he hears coaches talking about him? I don't know.
I think he feels empowered a little bit by this staff. Lee, this is, what is it, 4 out of 5 now?
I mean, yeah.
You know, that's serious stuff for Buck fans.
Yeah. Rare territory, yeah.
Maybe it's not crazy they can finish at 9-7. Maybe that's not nuts.
At the time, this went through my mind, that like the Giants game, that loss, you know, with the bum kick.
Yeah.
And I just said to myself, this is going to come back to haunt them. And the last time I said that about any loss was when they lost to the Lions, when they got jobbed out of a touchdown, Kellen Winslow, against the Lions. That was the 10-win season. That would have been the 11th win. It was at home late in the season. Yeah, but that's the last time after a close loss, I thought to myself, that's going to haunt them. And, of course, it cost them a playoff berth.
They were eliminated today.
Yeah, the Bucs were eliminated today. Just maybe the Bucs will finish 9-7, like you said, and that one loss may have kept them out of the playoffs.
You know, if they finish 7-1, Lee, in the second half, I'd have to go back in the book and find out the last time the Bucks closed with a 7-1 second half schedule.
Chucky, maybe?
Maybe the 2002 team.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Although they could have went 6-2 and 6-2, maybe. But that would be impressive. Now,
even if they finish 8-8,
we got to throw the monkey wrench in. We have to, because that's what we do, and we provide context. And Lee, you'll be right there with me. Everybody was excited going into the 2017 season. After the
splat,
the Bucks went 9-7. They went 6-2 in the second half. They almost made the playoffs. In fact, for a week they owned their own playoff destiny till they didn't.
Yeah.
When's the last time that happened to the Bucks where they had their own playoff destiny, Lee? And they couldn't handle it, Lee.
Yeah.
And the Hard Knocks cameras came in, so did Swaggy Baker. Both screwed them up.
If I had to pin it down, I would say the two Redskins. Signing the two Redskins, DeSean Jackson and Swaggy Baker.
It changed the locker room.
It poisoned the locker room. I really believe that. A lot of people point at Hard Knocks. I think that's,
probably irrelevant.
If the Hard Knocks cameras are bothering you in November, December, you got bigger problems than the Hard Knocks.
To me, Hard Knocks exposed Swaggy Baker a little bit. There were a few scenes there that I didn't like.
The palm tree,
slapping the kickers around these guys.
Well, personally, that didn't bother me too much. Yeah, about a year ago, someone was interviewing him, and I think it was a Redskins podcast that had him on, and they asked him about that, about how he was hounding the Guile. He goes, look, I talked to him off camera. He goes, he was my teammate. I love the guy. And he said, but you know what? If he can't handle me hounding him in practice, why should I expect him to do anything in a game? And he said, it was nothing personal. I didn't want to see the guy lose his job. I wanted to see him win games for us.
It was a bad look, though, Lee. It was a bad look.
Yeah, if you took it that way. I didn't take it that way. And Lee, like I say, he explained in that interview, he goes, I had nothing personal against him. I wasn't trying to get him to lose his job.
Lee, there's three people that want Mike Evans back as soon as possible. Mike Evans is the first one.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians is the second one, and I think Godwin might be the third one because, and I think he's got to know this, he's so good, Lee, and he was damn good today. Catch it, the tough catches in traffic. He's a master at it. He's better than Evans in that particular category.
Evans is pretty good in traffic.
He's pretty good.
But Godwin's that much better.
I think Godwin's hands are better than Evans. Evans is always going to have a higher yards per catch, I think, than Godwin. But going forward, starting with the Lions game, Lee, you got to double-team Godwin. You got to double-team Godwin if Evans is out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Take your chances with Perryman. It's very good to see O.J. Howard contributing, Lee.
Thank you, yes.
It's very, very nice.
Were you happy to see Justin Watson come through?
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely.
Give him some confidence.
And the ball's being spread around a little bit. Great. Contributed. By the way, the Bucks in the red zone, and I mentioned this in my story today, they're on fire. They're cashing in big time. Six, not three. Of course, the offense put the Buck defense in a really bad position early in the game.
And I was talking with someone, I'll just say someone that doesn't wear coach's attire when he comes into work at One Buck Palace. And he was telling me, he goes, Lee, and this is all off the record, but I can relate the story. You know, he goes, you know, Bruce Arians and Dirk Cutter were always talking about this team has talent. He goes, Lee, look, we lose Mike Evans. We give up 4 turnovers. We're down 10 at halftime. Look what this team did. He goes, I think the coaches were onto something. Fair point. Of course, we've only seen it once or twice. Justin Watson comes off the bench. Look what he did. Perriman. And so he had a good game. Obviously, we know about Brayton. We know about O.J. Howard.
You know, it's funny you mention that, Lee. Look, a common refrain from Buck fans, and I think with some merit, and you were right there with them, is this team's better than they've played, you know, 5-11. It's better than that. But nobody wanted to knock the coaching staff. I mean, nobody wanted to do it. The Glazers weren't going to do it. Jason Light wasn't going to do it. That's a tough spot for a general manager. Mm-hmm. And the players weren't going to do it. But, you know, coaching matters, Lee. Just ask the people up in Foxborough, you know, because that's not a 10-2 team going into Sunday. That's not a 10-2 team. That's a 6-4 team at best.
Probably.
In New England.
Yeah.
Look what Tomlin's done with the Steelers. Kept them tight. Lost his quarterback in week one. They could have fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching matters.
And I heard you hound Russo.
And I did. And I got an admission out of him that, I got to stop picking on Tomlin. all of a sudden, they're starting to develop some young players, Lee. And that was a big knock on Cutter's staff. You and I had more problems with Cutter's staff than we had with Cutter.
Outside of Monken, yes.
And by the way, Kitchens, you're a clown for wearing that T-shirt. And if you got any sense, you'll let Monken start calling the plays and see what he can do for Baker Mayfield.
How dumb was that of Kitchens? I mean, that's just dumb. That is absolutely dumb. And he's like, well, I didn't mean for anybody to say it. You go out in public, everybody's got cameras on their phones. Come on.
You got to know better than that, Lee.
You have to know better than that.
Any concerns from you that Winston's going to be banged up going into Detroit?
Sure, there's a concern. You know, even Arian said we'll know more tomorrow. You know, once the adrenaline stops and...
he's going to want to play, Lee. You can't leave the decision up to him.
He's like a racehorse.
Yeah, you can't leave it up to him.
He's all worked up, you know. But yeah.
Griffin was all smiles, Lee.
Was he?
Yeah, all smiles.
You talked to him? I didn't
know. He was on the phone talking to somebody. And he was jubilant.
He got his new NFL pass.
You got his, you know.
Your take on Donovan Smith?
Tough as hell.
Yeah.
You know, say what you want about him. He's not great. He's not going to make the Pro Bowl. Maybe by the time he finishes, he won't make the Pro Bowl. But he shows up. Goes out of the game. What did he miss? Two, three snaps?
Maybe.
With a bad ankle or whatever?
Yeah.
Guy's got a lot of personal pride. And by the way, Josh Wells got in there or whatever, and he got run over.
Got eaten up
alive. Justin Houston, yeah.
I thought it was right knee. Now, the Bucks, and I double-checked this after the game, the Bucks did not have any official announcement, release, etc. on Donovan Smith's injury. I did not see him in the locker room, but what I did do is, when he was down on the ground, I put my binoculars on him, initially trying to figure out who it was.
Was it an ankle or a knee?
They were working on his right ankle. The trainers were working on his right knee, just below the knee. When I say just below the knee, like 2 or 3 inches below the knee. I thought it was a knee injury, but when he came back and he played in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, that guy was hobbling bad. He could barely walk. And there was 2 times I saw him on the ground where he could barely get up. He was in some pain, and he gutted it out. And I know Donovan Smith...
That shows your teammates a lot.
Yeah. You know, he's not Anthony Munoz.
No.
No, and never he never will be. But he's also not Anthony Collins, who I still remember.
There you go.
But the fact... I know he takes personal pride. He's never missed a start, and he takes personal pride in that. But he's one of these guys... Say what you want to about him. You're like, oh, he doesn't want to finish the whistle or whatever. And I think there's some evidence to that. But he... It's like a personal assault on him to take him off the field.
Yes.
And the fact that he was gutting it out, I talked to a couple of people and they said, you know what, that's an example of why this team's turning the corner. Donovan could have easily said, man, my knee's killing me, I got to get off the field. But he stuck through it and he didn't quit and he fought through
it. And everybody notices.
Yes, yes. Sort of a ripple effect. Yes. So I'm not saying they won because of Donovan Smith, but this person was telling me, this is a player, it was a player, that that was an example of the team is changing. That the team 2 months ago probably would have folded the tents. But instead, they're fighting, they won't give up. They're doing their job, every snap. And it pulled through today. And Donovan Smith was a good example of that.
And they won at home, which is big for Arians.
No kidding. You know, everybody and their brother was like typical home game. You know, the two turnovers right away, and the Colts take a big lead. Here we go. Den of depression.
Hey, by the way, you know who's on a roll? And I know you don't know this, so I'm going to educate you. The Glazer gentleman and Darcy. Manchester United, two big wins, not that you would notice. They beat Tottenham, and they beat Manchester City. Now, when you beat Manchester City and you're Manchester United, that's your main rival.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Same city.
Yeah, so they just beat them. Big upset. And this team's turning it around. So, look, Lee, and don't be shocked if they end up wanting to play more than one game overseas, Jackson. But by the way, they're in total disarray. They're not competitive right now.
No.
Coughlin, you know, that story you told me. I used it on Russo.
You embellished the hell out of it.
I embellished. This is what I do. I said he was muttering, but I had him.
I'm glad you said it was me that witnessed it, not the person who did witness it. So you know, that embellishment I got to eat.
I'm not to embellish. But I'll tell you what's not embellishing. 4 wins out of 5. And, you know, look, this team was 3-7, Lee. 3-7. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're 3-7. It looks like you're going to end up 5-11. That's what it looks like for the third straight season. How are you going to sell tickets? Well, now you know, you got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
They still got to make the decision on Winston. But Lee,
I think the decision's made after today.
I think I'd be a little surprised if Winston wasn't back.
Some of the gun producers.
I can't see a 67-year-old coach wanting to start over with a rookie quarterback.
But did you see his quotes? Arians like to do his presser immediately.
Yeah.
So I'm in a locker room when he's doing his presser, and I'm always like, well, either Steve can get quotes or I can go back and look at the video. So I wasn't at his presser, but I read the quotes. And he said, it's a good thing I'm young and healthy. And he said he's never coached such a nice team, he said. Every game, 10, 14, 17 points they give away. But I'm like, it's a good thing I'm young and healthy.
You know, you're not supposed to extend Southern hospitality in this manner. But they didn't play particularly well today, and they beat a team that needed desperately to win.
Mm-hmm.
On that standard, that's a heck of a win. You're not playing the Jaguars today.
Apparently, after the Bucs win, Jameis is 7 yards off the league lead in yards thrown.
I want to remind you, Jeff George, because I looked it up, because you were going crazy about that. Hey, he might lead the league in passing yards. Jeff George did it. Anybody talking about Jeff George, my friend?
He had talent, but he was a head case. Here's a good Jeff George story for you. My old coach, I didn't play for him, but Tony Romo played for him. And his name was Bob Spoo. He coached at Eastern Illinois for about 20 years.
Bob Stoops?
No, Spoo, S-P-O-O. But he coached Sean Payton, and he coached Tony Romo. He was a quarterback guy. Well, he was Jeff George's initial. He first went to Purdue. He was from Indianapolis. He first went to Purdue, lasted a year there. Well, this guy, Bob Stoo, was his offensive coordinator. And I'll never forget Bob Spoon. And when I talked to him, he was like in his 50s at the time. And nice guy. And I asked him about Jeff George. And apparently that was very rough. You don't ask him about Jeff George. Well, I got an interview with the guy. I'm a journalist. I'm going to ask him about Jeff George. What's he going to do? Throw me out of his office? Okay. But I made sure I asked him that. I asked him, what are your thoughts about Jeff George? I think that's what I asked him. Shoot, this is back in 1987. And he takes a deep breath. And he puts his head down, stares at the floor for like 20 seconds. Then he looks at me, he pulls his head up, he looks at me and goes, no comment.
Ooh. Didn't that say it all, Lee?
Yeah, because he thought about, well, how am I going to answer? And he's like, no comment. So there's my connection to Jeff George. And he guy was a massive head case. He thought he was Christ Almighty. I mean, really, he had an ego that was just out of proportion.
Now, wait a minute.
But he had talent.
Put a picture of Winston up on a website where he looks like Jesus or something? Guilty.
You ever hear what Don Rickles said about Jesus Christ?
What'd he say?
A rabbi who took a left turn.
How many times can you quote Rickles? By the way, I saw Blazing Saddles the other
Did
day.
You?
I was watching for a couple of minutes. I was thinking of you. Lee, we're going to end this podcast. A couple of things. One, get your buns down to Bill Curry Ford, a little north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Holiday sales, you will not believe. Sean Sullivan, shake his hand, talk a little Bucks, a little 2020 draft. Ask him who the fourth string cornerback is on Utah State. He might know it.
Yeah.
He might tell you. And he's going to give you the best deal in town. Number two, come join me. Buffalo Wild Wings, when the Bucks go up to Detroit. I will be in Sarasota, Buffalo Wild Wings. It's going to be my last appearance of the year at the Wild Wings.
Oh, really?
Last road game. So let's make it a special one. You know what? I think the Bucks might be favored going into that.
Favorite. Because the Lions are just, they're dragging down to the end of the line.
You know,
to the finish line.
They weren't bad the first month of the year.
They kind of went south.
They lost a game because of a terrible officials call. Detroit, there was a problem. They had a tie, but they weren't bad. And they just fall apart.
Isn't Matt Patricia catching flack up there?
I think so. We're going to sign off from Raymond James Stadium, which is suddenly the home of the streaking Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The streaking. Are you getting any vibes from his coach's office, Ira?
Well, they're dumbing me down a little bit.
Oh.
I'll see ya.